Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here today. Not just because this is our habit to come to church every Sunday, sitting at the pew, participating, singing, and praying, but because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and saved us from our sin. Lord, we are here today to think about you, to worship you, to praise you. Would you please come to us and speak to our hearts so that we will recognize something that we don't know before, that we will recognize the bigger world that we have to see through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us and help us to understand your holy word. We pray, your Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our text is from the Old Testament, one of books, Ezra, book of Ezra. I picked the chapter 2, and I realized that chapter 2 has lots of names and numbers that impossible to read and preach from those numbers and names. But chapter 2 is a great text for us to know God's will and His call. So I'm going to read only verse 1 and 2 from chapter 2, and then 68 through 70, end of the chapter 2, it will be projected on the screen, I guess. No? Yeah. So I wish you can open your Bibles and then turn to page, whatever. I don't have a Bible with me, but Ezra chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and 68 and 70. We'll skip the middle part. This is the word of God. Now these were the people of the providence who came up out of the captivity of those exiles from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried the captives to Babylonia. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. They came with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Zerariah, Reuelah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Reham, and Baanah. 68 in verse 70. Some of the heads of families, when they came to the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem, made a freewill offerings for the house of God to erect it on its site. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury of the work 61,000 derricks of gold and 5,000 minas of silver and 100 priest garments. Now the priests, the Levites, and some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants lived in the town, their towns, and all the rest of the Israel in their towns. Amen. When the Israelites were in Babylon as captives, what they wanted was to hear God's divine calling. They want to hear something from God. For the time of restoration, for the restoration of the destroyed their nation and temple, the Israelites wanted to go back to their home country. They desperately wanted to rebuild the temple. Then suddenly God began to speak to the people through the mouth of King Cyrus, the Gentile king. That is Ezra chapter 1. If you still open your Bible, Ezra chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, this is what he said. The Lord, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you, may his God be with him. And I let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord and the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. By reading these verses, we see this is a very fascinating story. Now, we know that over the past 70 years, God was so quiet about the return to Jerusalem or restoration of the Israelites. So, it was a very devastating experience for them to live in Babylon without any God's instruction or direction. Then here God broke the silence. And strangely, God spoke to them through the Gentile king Cyrus. That's very strange. And commanded him to send all the Israelites back to Jerusalem. It's a kind of breaking news. I thought about like a North Korea guy is saying, "Hey, I'll become a Christian right now. All the people, you can go and believe and worship God." Those kind of story. It's a breaking news. Through the mouth of King Cyrus, a Gentile king, God had called on all the Israelites to return to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the temple of the Lord. Finally, we can say, yeah, a dream comes true. They must have felt thrilled with the greatness of God's grace and mercy at that time. They must have felt the presence of God in every single moment when they heard about King Cyrus' statement. Probably it was the greatest moment of their lives in Babylon for 70 years. That's the best time. God is on the move, and the Israelites heard His voice. They heard God's call, His calling. They must have said, "Hallelujah." But wait a second. We have to think about this. Did all the Israelites really say, "Hallelujah"? Now, we know that all the Israelites, they wanted to be free. They wanted to freely worship God. They wanted to be saved from the hands of the enemies. Over the past 70 years, they have been waiting for God's action for the recovery of their nation. And finally, they heard God's call. God called the Israelites and commanded them to go back, to return to Jerusalem. However, did all the Israelites responded to His call? Unfortunately, no. Maybe I would say shockingly, not all the Israelites responded to God's call. Based on Ezra 1 and 5, when God called all the Israelites, some of the Israelites whose heart God had moved prepared to go to Jerusalem. Not all. And today's text in Ezra chapter 2 says all the people who responded to God's call. Well, while I was reading chapter 2, I wondered, why? Why didn't all the Israelites say, "Yes, Lord," or responded to God's call and His voice? Why not? Wasn't that that they wanted to hear His voice, God's voice, again and again? But when God spoke to them, not all the Israelites responded. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? Has God called you today? Many Israelites hesitated, or I say, did not respond to God's word because it was too long and tough for them to return to Jerusalem. It's not easy. To go directly from Susa, where they stayed, to Jerusalem is about 850 miles. Now, if they wanted to return to Jerusalem, it's not only 850 miles. They had to travel more than 1,200 miles. Now, maybe it seems nothing to us because we have we can drive or fly. But now we are talking about B.C. 538. It is about almost 2,600 years ago. They did not have cars and airplanes. Simply, they had to walk. Yes, they may have some horses or donkeys or camels, so that they could ride them. However, still majority of the people, they have to walk to Jerusalem more than 1,200 miles. Now, from Spokane to Los Angeles is roughly 1,200 miles. Just imagine that. If God today, He commands you and me to go there, walking to Los Angeles, or whatever, then how many of us will say, yes, I'll go. Maybe you could. Maybe Pastor Perry will drive his old van. But if you have to walk with your children and with your family, spouse, and all the luggage, all the stuff you brought from your, you know, country, Susan, and even more, we're not talking about walking on the streets and highways, nice streets, but we are talking about walking over rough roads in the Middle East. So for the Israelites, they needed at least 3 or 4 months to go there, to Jerusalem. So practically speaking, it was an impossible task for them to return to Jerusalem. It's long, too long for them. It's too painful for them. It's too much for them. It's too dangerous and risky for them. So, many people decided not to go. They didn't want to take a risk. They didn't want to sacrifice their lives. Unfortunately, when God called, they did not respond. Has God called you and me today? More interestingly, a commentator says, this is a commentator quote, not all the Jews in Babylonia went back to Judah. A significant group stayed behind because they had become prosperous and were satisfied with conditions in that country. Many of the Israelites did not return to Jerusalem because they were successful life in Babylon. And although the Israelites were brought to Babylon as captives, as we know, some of them lived a very successful life in Babylon. And do you know who started the first banking system in human history? One of the Israelites in Babylon. That's amazing. The Merash family started the first banking system in human history. They are so smart, like the Koreans. Think about it. If you were one of the Merash family there in Babylon, what would you say, what would you do when God said, hey, close your business right now and pack up all your stuff and luggage and return. Go back to Jerusalem with your family now. Would you quickly respond to God's call? Yes, I will do. Would you give up what you have right now and respond to God's call? I don't need anything here. I'll go wherever you send me. Would you take all the risk and respond to God's call? Successful lifestyle in Babylon was a stumbling block for them of their faith to answer God's call. Successful life. Many Israelites did not want to respond to God's divine calling because of their, you know, successful lifestyle, because of the reasons and many excuses what they had, business or their work situation or family circumstance. They didn't want better life. For me, in the United States, 16 or 17 years right now, it's a good place to live. I don't want to go back to South Korea where North Korean people are looking at us. 70 years in Babylon, surely it was a good place to live. They could not give up what they had. No. Gotta be kidding me. Give up everything what I have? No. They were so comfortable with their lifestyle in Babylon. Probably they just ignored God's call. Hey, God, I can't hear you. Say it loud. What? Probably they did not believe God's providence. I don't care what you prepare for me. This is what I have. I'm satisfied with it. Whatever reasons, many of them did not respond to God's call and decided to stay in Babylon. Has God called you and me today? Let me tell you more striking news. You know the name Levites, the tribe, one tribe of the Israelites. In the Old Testament time, God gave them a very special assignment. God specially ordered them to take care of the temple. That's what we know. Then we have to go back. Why? God gave them a very special assignment. The story of the Levites goes back to the time of Moses. I'll tell you a little bit about it. We all know the story of the golden calf, right? And when Moses went up to the mountain to receive God's 10 commandments, he stayed there 40 days and nights. Now, all for the Israelites, it was too long, 40 days and nights, and gone, somebody's gone. So they asked Aaron, make gods, and they made a golden calf and worshipped it. Yay, we want to worship God. Then I will read you the rest of the story from the Bible. Exodus 32, verse 25 and 28. Moses saw that the people were running wild, and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to each other, the other, each killing his brother and a friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. Now, it's a very scary story to read. But yet, we clearly see and read about the faith of the Levites. When the Israelites disobeyed God, the Levites stood up for the Lord. They were very dedicated. Their hearts pumping for always Lord. Their hearts were focused on the Lord, God. And God gave them a very special assignment to take care of the temple of the Lord. Very, very honorable job. But things were changed for 70 years in Babylon because there was no temple. So when the Levites heard God calling through the mouth of King Cyrus, they must have felt thrilled. Wow, this is a time we've been waiting for 70 years. And excited, they must have joyfully responded to God's call. Yet, is it true? Do you know how many Levites returned to Jerusalem? If you still open your Bible, look at Ezra chapter 2, verse 40. The Levites, the descendants of the Jeshua, Kadamiel, through the line of Hodaviah, 74. Even more, let me read you another passage from Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. If you still open, you can open it and read it with me. Ezra chapter 8, 15. I assembled them at the canal that flows toward Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. When I checked among the people and the priest, I found no Levites there. Isn't that weird? God called them to take care of the temple. Taking care of the temple was their duty. It's their call. But only 74 responded. 74 Levites responded to God's call. We believe that more than 45,000 or 50,000 people returned to Jerusalem, but only 74 Levites returned. What happened to them? I wonder why. Then I read a very interesting statement account for the Levites from my reading. A commentator says, quote, "The small number of Levites returned to Jerusalem due to the Israelites' lowly kind of work at the temple." Wow. Due to the lowly kind of work at the temple. Not many of the Levites responded, because they thought that taking care of the temple was lowly work. Has God called you and me today? Since the Israelites were in Babylon for 70 years, most of the people who returned to Jerusalem were born in Babylon. That's the story. This means most of them had never been in Jerusalem before. Like our kids, they were born in the United States. They heard about South Korea. They don't know anything about South Korea. While many of the Israelites and the Levites decided to stay in Babylon, we see a lot of names in Ezra chapter 2. And those are the list of the people who responded to God's call and God's calling and decided to go to Jerusalem. Among those names, we see the name Zerubbabel in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Now, like many other Israelites, Zerubbabel was born in Babylon. He was the second generation of the Jews. However, his life in Babylon was quite different than any other Israelites, because he was a descendant of David. Now, it means he was a member of the royal family. He was a prince of Judah. Now, even more, we see his name on the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's not only he was a descendant of David, but also he was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now, let's think about the man Zerubbabel now. Since he was a prince, and both the Babylonians and Persians treated him as royal family. Therefore, his life in Babylon was pretty good all the time. It means there was no reason for him to return to Jerusalem. No. He had everything in Babylon, but there was nothing in Jerusalem. He was born in Babylon. He had never been in Jerusalem. He didn't know anything about it. So to speak, he had more reasons and excuses than anyone else in Babylon not to return to Jerusalem. But he chose to return. He chose to respond to God's call. And he led 45,000 people to Jerusalem, and he became the governor of Judah. And later he laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. And then I began asking, why? Why did he decide to return to Jerusalem? Why? Many of the Israelites said, oh, it's too hard for us to return right now. This is not a good time. Maybe I will wait. Many of the Israelites said, oh, you know what? I'm very comfortable with my situation here in Babylon. Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot go with you. Even many of the Levites thought it was lowly work. I don't want to do that. But a prince of Judah, Zerubbabel, gladly responded God's call, his calling. Why? I was trying to find the answer. I found the answer is found in the book of Haggai. I read Haggai, and then I'll read it to you. God told Zerubbabel through the mouth of the prophet Haggai, that is Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4, it said, God said, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. At the end of verse 4, he says, for be strong, because I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Did you hear what God said? Be strong and work, because I am with you. I thought about it. Maybe he felt, he must have felt he couldn't do God's work, what God has asked him to do. It's too much. Leading a lot of people, 45,000 people or 50 people to Jerusalem? No. Rebuilding the temple? Wow. He didn't know anything about his future in Jerusalem. He was not sure about his life in Jerusalem. But one thing he knew that God was with him all the time. He listened to what God said, for I am with you. And he believed it and held on to God's promise. And he responded God's call. He walked by faith, not by sight. Because of his faith in God, he took a risk. Because of his faith in God, he was able to give up everything that he had in Babylon. Because of his faith in God, he was able to lay down the foundation of the temple of the Lord. Because of his faith in God, he was able to respond to God's call. Has God called you and me today? There are two different groups in our story today. One group is people, group of people who did not respond. They did not respond to God's call at all. The other group is people, group of people who faithfully responded to God's call. When God said, they said yes. Now, let's get serious. Through the ministry of New Hope, God has called you and me in many different ways to serve His church, His people, this community. God has called you and me to build our new sanctuary. That's why we started a capital campaign years ago, right? I believe so. I came 2 or 3 years ago interviewing, and I was very thrilled, excited about that. Maybe we still have a lot of thoughts and opinions about the new sanctuary. But I believe that God called us to do that. God has called you and me to faithfully share the gospel and to reach out our community through our ministries. That's why we support VBS, GEMS and Cadets, Good News Club, and any other missionaries, right? God has called you in many different ways. Then what is your answer? What is your answer to God's divine call? Well, maybe someone will think that, oh, Pastor James is pushing me hard today. No. I'm trying to remind all of you, family here at New Hope, of God's call. For as a family, as a church, maybe we say, oh, this is hard for me. It's too much for me. Maybe it's impossible. I don't want to take any risk like other Israelites. Maybe we say, well, I don't know. I don't want to do more. It's not my job. Or maybe it's a lowly job, like the Levites. Humanly speaking, Sometimes we cannot just say yes to God's call. No, it's hard. Because it's too much for us. Same to me. God's call requires you and me too much sacrifices in our lives. That's true. Sometimes we have so many excuses and reasons. Ignore God's call, not respond to His call at all. But don't you remember what God said to Zerubbabel? Haggai chapter 2 and 4. For I am with you. Because I am with you. This is not the end of the story. When Jesus returned to heaven, He said to His same thing to His disciples. All the authority in heaven and earth has given to you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is His promise. Jesus gave us all, even His life, precious life for our sin. The same Jesus calls you and me today, and He promises that He will be, He is with us always to the end of the age. Then what is your answer for His call? Brothers and sisters, we are here today to worship God. We are here today to listen to God's word. And we are here today to respond to His call. God calls everyone. God calls you. And we need to respond to the call to give, to serve, to obey, to follow. There is no small or lowly work in His kingdom, God's kingdom. But every work is big and important because Jesus is with us all the time. There is nothing insignificant in God's kingdom because Jesus is with us. There is no impossible work. We will say that's impossible, that's too much. No, there is no impossible work in God's kingdom. Everything is possible. Why? Because Jesus is always with us. That is His promise. I do not know your struggles or problems. But one thing that I know is Jesus calls you and He will be with you always. If Jesus is with us, what more do we need? Do we need more money? Do we need other things? No. What more do we need? When God calls you, moving your heart, speaking to your heart, do not say no. Do not delay your answer. Do not make excuses. Do not try to find something. Do not waste your time, but humbly come and humbly listen and humbly respond to His call. And commit yourself to our Lord Jesus Christ. And hold on to His promise that He said, I will be with you all the time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for teaching us about our commitment. Like the Israelites, we always wanted to hear Your call and Your voice. But when You spoke to them, many of them did not respond. Maybe that's our story. We want to hear You, but we don't want to talk back to You. We don't want to follow Your direction. Lord, maybe we cannot do it. But we believe that we can do it because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's helping us. Help us to respond to Your call. To say yes to Your call. We pray your Son. In Jesus Christ.